Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm AJ. I go to school at Libri, and I live in Elizaville.
And we're trying to get our friend Lena to join us, but we're having some technical difficulties, so she may join us in a little bit. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about some books, because that's what we do every week.
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things.
All that good stuff.
I'm sorry that I missed the last one. I also missed listening to it.
Well, luckily, you can listen to the radio show anytime on WGXE.org.
Yay!
Go to the audio archive.
Yay.
So, we're all recording today our show from our homes because the studios are temporarily closed and the library is temporarily closed. Lots of things are temporarily closed.
Most people think that their lives are temporarily closed.
Yeah. So what have you all been up to this week?
Well, we just got a new swing set and our friend Lewis just actually got to visit us and I've been reading as usual.
Yeah. The swing set's all set up? That's nice because the weather's been lovely some days. Most days.
A few days.
It's nice to be able to go outside when you can, safely.
We have like 11 acres of land and we only use like 2 of them.
Wow.
It's funny.
Well, I guess if you get bored of those 2, you can expand.
Yeah, but the rest of it's all woods.
I used to play in the woods when I was a kid. I guess you just have to make sure it's safe in case there's like
ticks and hunters, or ticks.
Or monsters in the woods. How about you, Amelia? What have you been up to?
I finished The Tattooist of Auschwitz. I've been spending a shameful amount of time learning TikTok dances, and I have been continuing a weird series of collages I'm doing for art based off tarot cards.
Do you have a favorite tarot card you've made so far? Or artwork based on tarot cards?
Oh, geez. So far, my favorite one I've made is the first one I made, which was Death. Right now, I'm working on the Star, which I've been looking forward to making for a really long time.
I've been mostly working, but my job, because the library building is closed, but we're still offering programs and trying to get people access to resources. And so we're very busy, perhaps busier than when we're open.
Really?
Shocking. At least for me, it's a lot of work to shift your entire working life to remote work. But yeah, so in addition to work, I've had some nice Zoom calls with my friends and with my family. I did a couple game nights that were fun over Zoom. I played Codenames and Trivial Pursuit, and I won both games.
Yay!
My parents and I played Pandemic.
Oh no, did you save us?
We almost did, but then we always forget that when you run out of cards, you end the game.
So
we ended up waiting too long.
Yeah, I think I've played that game and most of the times we did not successfully save the world, or if we did, it was
almost in ruins?
No, it was sometimes we thought we won, but then realized we were playing wrong. And we're like, we won because we cheated.
I mean, the goal of the game is to cure all the diseases. You don't have to eradicate them, but I always forget that you don't have to eradicate them. So I'm like running around getting like these little cubes out of everywhere and it's so strange. But I don't have to be doing that. And then by the time I realize I don't have to be doing that, all the cards are gone and we are sad. I think I've only won the game once.
Yeah, I don't even know. Because I know there were times we won, but we didn't really win.
Can I share a book?
Sure.
What, you want to talk about books on a book show? What is wrong?
So sure. My book is The Sisters Grimm by Michael Buckley. I'll read the description. For the first time since their parents were kidnapped, Sabrina and Daphne Grimm returned to their hometown, New York City, to find Puck's family. Puck is from A Midsummer Night's Dream. But the fairy tale detectives get more than they bargained for. The Big Apple, wand-wheeling fairy godfathers, swashbuckling Wall Street pirates who wear suits and drink cocktails.
Good for them. They're living their best life.
Subway-stealing dwarfs. And worst of all, hidden among all these urban Ever After is a murderer. This is the city Sabrina remembers, a place where she spent happy normal days with her family. Even her memories of her parents aren't safe. As the sisters, Grimm, investigate the death of an important Ever After, they learn that their mother kept a secret from them that might lead to that evil organization, the Scarlet Hand. Da, da,
da! So that's part of a series, right?
It's the fourth book. I only read the fourth book.
Was it okay jumping right in?
It's fine. I know what the characters were, and since there were some flashbacks, I can just make up what the story was, and hopefully it was accurate.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Yes.
Before WGXC was on the air, thus before Bound by Books was a show, I did I think it was a pretend radio show, or it may have been like a radio show where it was broadcast just at Germantown Community Farm. I think that's what happened, where this young woman named Quinn, who was the original Bound by Books co-host of mine, and I talked about books on the show, and she talked about a book pretending that she was Barbie talking about a book for some reason. And she talked about that series.
Oh my gosh.
Fun fact.
That's funny.
So in a way, the first Bound by Books show ever, although it wasn't called Bound by Books and it wasn't on WGXC yet, was about that series. And it was co-hosted by me and Quinn, aka Barbie. Barbie, the original co-host.
If you're listening, then that's very nice.
It's so funny.
So what do you think of that series so far? Do you think you'll read more?
I want to get the fifth book, but because of the coronavirus, I know that I'm going to have to wait at least a day to get it. An extra day, because Wormley's out of all the packages.
I ordered a cute custom mask.
You know, the kind of like the teeth on the outside with the pattern. And I need to wait a very long time for it to show up. And I'm very sad now.
And was it for the coronavirus or was it just for fun around the house?
Both. It has teeth on it. Of course it's going to be both.
I might wear it the rest of her life. Yeah, one of my neighbors made a mask for me and my husband, so that was very nice.
Oh, my mom watched a video where it was on Facebook, I think, and it said that you can just cut up a bra and use the strap if it's not strapless for a mask. So it's like this part, and then you go put the strap around.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen some funny pictures on the internet of people with like a bra that perfectly fits their face and then like a larger bra that's taking up their whole face.
And there was also this one picture of a man with a paper shopping bag with two holes on his head, and my godfather also wore it. I am invincible.
My mom made me wear a mask when we went out walking and I hated it. I just hate the way it feels.
Yeah, but it does feel
I should.
Odd.
Blech. I hate feeling your breath back on you. It's just weird.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I don't like about it. It's weird. I have not read a lot since finishing The Tattooist of Auschwitz, but I have listened to some story narrations online while I'm doing my art homework.
Cool.
So
where do you listen to them?
YouTube channels. I found there are quite a few that do scary stories. Sometimes they're, you know, creative writing scary stories. Other times they're actual true stories from people who have encountered like weird stuff. Like breaking and entering genres, all kinds of weird things that people have witnessed. There are a few channels that I really enjoy. Lazy Masquerade, Bebusta, Your Maker, and Mr. Creepypasta, who made that anthology that I talked about last time. But I've been listening to Mr. Creepypasta a lot.
I like that he's Mr. Creepypasta, not just Creepypasta. Very formal.
It's kind of funny. It is very formal.
It's formal, but it's funny. It's like, oh, you're Mr. Creepypasta.
He's a really good narrator, too. He can really, like, emphasize the story. And a lot of them are in first person, so that's, like, important. The one I'm reading right now was one that was originally written on a Reddit forum, I think, but I don't know which one, called Search and Rescue Stories. It's a very long series. Basically, this man starts out talking about his job as a search and rescue officer, and it starts out where you think that he really is a search and rescue officer, and he's just talking about the cases he's had that have gone wrong. So it starts out sounding like a very true story, but as he kept writing it, he began to add the weirder and weirder stuff. So now you like know it's a piece of fiction, it's creative writing, but you don't lose interest because it's very well done. So even when you get to the point where you know it's fake, you can like suspend your disbelief to be like, wow, this guy is seeing some really cool stuff and really creepy stuff. It has weird moments. It doesn't rely on gore too much, which I think a lot of these things do, unfortunately, but this one really doesn't, and it makes it a really good read.
Yay. I haven't been reading quite as much this week, although I've been listening to a book that I talked about on the show as one that I was planning to read called We Ride Upon Styx. Basically, there are two books that came out last month that feature field hockey teams, and I played field hockey in high school, so I decided I wanted to read both of the books. And one of them's a contemporary fiction novel, and the other is a historical speculative fiction novel, and that's the one I started with.
Emily,
mm-hmm.
What's contemporary?
Contemporary is like present day, realistic. So basically a book that feels like it could take place today in the real world. And then the historical one is set in 1989, and it's speculative fiction, because it's about witches. I can read the description for you. It's so that one's called We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry, and the intended audience was adults, but so far it reads like it could be of interest to teens as well. And the description goes, set in the coastal town of Danvers, Massachusetts, where the accusations began that led to the 1962 witch trials, We Ride Upon Styx follows the 1989 Danvers High School Falcons field hockey team, will do anything to make it to the state finals, even if it means tapping into some devilishly dark powers. In chapters dense with 1980s iconography, from heathers to big hair, Berry expertly weaves together the individual and collective progress of this enchanted team as they storm their way through an unforgettable season. Helmed by good girl Captain Abby Putnam, a descendant of the infamous Salem accuser Ann Putnam, and her co-captain Jen Fiorenza, whose bleach blonde claw sees and knows all. The claw is her hair, by the way. Mm-hmm. The Falcons prove to be wily, original, and bold, flaunting society's stale notions of femininity in order to find their glorious true selves through the crucible of team sport and, more importantly, friendship.
Sounds interesting. I like it.
Yeah. So far it's fun.
Emily?
Yes, AJ?
You think I'll be able to read it? It sounds very interesting.
Possibly. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know if it's age appropriate or not, because it is intended for adults. So I'll have to see by the time I get to the end if it feels like something that's right for you. But it's fun so far. I like it. And I like the, I grew up in the 80s, so I like all the 80s references. They have like a book that they write down all of their deeds that they do to like get their special field hockey powers. And the book is named Emilio Estevez because it's a notebook that has this actor that was popular in the 80s named Emilio Estevez. So they always talk about Emilio. I really want to see the hairstyle. I wish I had a picture of her with the claw. I want to know what that looks like. But yeah, so I've been listening to that. I also read one recently that's a picture book, but it's a nonfiction picture book that I thought was really cool, called The Next President, The Unexpected Beginnings and Unwritten Future of America's Presidents. It's by Kate Messner with Adam Rex. It's the illustrator. And it goes through the history of our country from the time that George Washington became president to present day, and then looking ahead to the future. And the way that it works, the timeline is really interesting, where it goes through each of the presidents, but it doesn't talk about each of them at the time that they were president. So they'll introduce George Washington and be like, when he became president, this many future presidents were already alive, and this is what they were doing.
Hmm.
And so when it introduces a president, the ones that are alive, some of them are in Congress, some of them are working some other job, some of them are teenagers, some of them are babies. So it's really interesting to think about like the passing of time and how many different backgrounds our presidents that we've had in the past have come from. So even though diversity has been low in many ways, they come from very different beginnings. You know, they've had many different careers that brought them to become president. And so it kind of leaves on this note of like, who are our future presidents? It could be like any number of people and what are they doing now? Like,
that's interesting.
Like if Amelia was our future president, mm-hmm, right now, no. Right now she's on the radio.
Yep.
I'd vote for you, but I wouldn't blame you for not running. I wouldn't.
I would definitely run for president.
What would your platform be? Like, what would you want to change in our country or make happen?
Improve everything.
Every single thing?
Every single solitary thing that needs improving. And even if it doesn't need improvement, still I'll make it better. Even better.
Nice.
Okay.
Work with me. I get even better. Hey, yay. AJ, 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 go, yay.
All right, that was our special guest doll. That was
her name is Riley.
Riley. Riley's on AJ's campaign team.
Yay!
Wow.
Oh, so I wanted to also mention our library is doing a fun challenge this month. We were supposed to have on Saturday, April 4th, we were supposed to have the Woke Baby Book Fair. But as you might imagine, we had to postpone that. So we're still hoping to offer it someday down the line. We just don't know when yet. But in the meantime, we're working with our curator in residence, Mahogany L. Brown, who is a poet who I read some poems from a book of hers last week. And so we're doing the Woke Baby Challenge this month. And so basically what we're doing is every Saturday, we're announcing a challenge that families and children can take part in during the week. And then the following Saturday, we announce the winners and we announce the next challenge. And they're all based on books from her Woke Baby book list and are just fun ways to get people creating and sharing and having fun. So our first Woke Baby Challenge that we're accepting submissions through Friday, April 10th, is to take or draw a picture that represents a rainbow to you. So people could draw a picture, they could take a photograph, they could like dress up in their most fabulous rainbow attire and take a picture and post it somewhere on social media and tag the library, tag Mahogany, and use hashtag Woke Baby Challenge. And then they get entered for some prize packs of books.
That's cool.
And so we thought it would just be a fun way to get people engaged and having fun, doing some creative things. So that's our first challenge. And then we'll announce the next one on Saturday, April 11th, which is my dad's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to Emily's dad.
Yay. He's great.
Yay.
I like that guy. Yeah. So feel free to check out our website. If you go to hudsonarealibrary.org and look for curator in residence, Mahogany L. Brown, or Woke Baby Challenge, you'll find that info. We also have it on our social media pages, which is Hudson Area Library NY. Because we're not the only Hudson Area Library in the world. True story. There's a lot of Hudsons.
How many?
I don't know, but enough that we're not the only one.
I'm like that, one more?
No, there's one
two?
In... There's more than that. I forget the number, but there's at least one in New Hampshire, Ohio, and I think it was Wisconsin one. I forget. Every once in a while, people contact us about things that they think are happening at our library that are actually happening at a different Hudson area library. That's how I find out about them sometimes.
Funny.
Yeah. One idea, which I don't know if anyone's prepared for, but maybe you have something you can grab nearby. If not, but it's National Poetry Month in April.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if anyone has a favorite poem to share. It looks like AJ.
To Google Docs I go.
I have one.
Wonderful. Do you want to share?
Yes, it's about my adoption.
What's it called?
My Adoption.
Who's it by?
Me.
Oh, wonderful.
Adoption is like an angel answering someone's prayer. Adoption is what makes me me. Adoption is like being reborn.
That's really sweet. Did you write that just for fun or did you write that for school?
For school.
Yeah. Did your teacher or class give you any feedback on it? It's very nice.
They just read it and said, good job. And they sent home the paper and mom loved it. So she hung it up on the fridge.
Yeah, it's very sweet. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Did you find one, Amelia?
I'm attempting to. I don't actually know where they went. I really hope I didn't delete them. Otherwise, I'll be really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a copy of them somewhere, but I don't know where those copies are. So it's not like they'd be lost, but...
I can read one that I remember we used to do poetry on the radio show a lot back in the early days, and I remember this as being one of Quinn's favorite poems. It's by Emily Dickinson. It's called I'm Nobody, Who Are You? I'm Nobody, Who Are You? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell, they'd banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody, how public, like a frog, to tell your name the livelong day to an admiring bog. I did that one.
Yeah, because
I'm glad apparently I was the only one who wasn't aware that that was the thing that existed, but okay.
So
I found them. They were not lost.
Oh, good.
My classmate Sam had that because we were going to do a poetry recital, and so I basically remembered it all those times.
Yeah, it's a very nice poem. But now Amelia has one for us. Is this also one that you wrote, or is it a favorite?
Yeah, this is one that I wrote. I don't remember exactly the prompt, but I think it was I was given a bunch of random words and had to put them into a poem as a general theme. Because it's titled Random Word Poem, so I assume that was the prompt we were given. Her corporeal form sleeps beneath the tulip tree where they laid her to rest all those years ago. Her soul, however, dances up in the heavens. Up there she makes the shooting stars, weaving their comet tails. For others, they are beautiful, those incandescent wonders. For me, they are a torment, a reminder that she is no longer here. She is happier up there. She makes the night sky shine brighter, and the angels sing in rapturous joy when her creations take flight. It would be selfish of me to wish for her return and exchange her joy for my own, to bring her back to Earth and deprive the cosmos of her star showers.
That's very nice.
Nice.
I haven't written a poem in years, I guess since I was a kid.
Mm.
I can't remember if they had us write poems in high school. Maybe. I don't know. I can read another one. This is one I also remember reading with Quinn, actually, because we used to try to read it all in one breath, which is a challenge. You have to read it really fast if you do it that way.
Yeah.
But it's
I can do the I'm nobody poem in a breath.
Oh yeah, we'll test you after. Okay. So this is called They Loved Paper Clips by Lisa Jarnot. All right, deep breath. Okay. Let's see. They loved harmony. They loved anthills. They loved food and cookies and harpoons. They loved the sound of laces of the shoes and snow. They loved the snow on Thursdays in the rain. And when they met, they loved that too. And igloos and the trees and things to mail and chlorine. And they loved the towels for the beach and hot dogs and the pool. And also when the wind rose up, they loved the ceiling and the tide. And then they loved the sky. And I took a number of breaths during that poem. I did not hurt myself. You have to read it really fast to do it in one breath.
Yeah.
Like, they loved harmony, they loved anthills, they loved food and cookies and harpoons, they loved the sound of laces of the shoes and snow, they loved the snow on Thursdays and the rain, and when they met, they loved that too, and igloos and the trees and things to mail and chlorine, and they loved the towels for the beach and hot dogs and the pool, and also when the wind rose up, they loved the ceiling and the tide, and then they loved the sky. That was one breath.
That's funny.
Can I just try to do the I'm Nobody one? I'm Nobody, Who Are You? By Emily Dickinson. I'm Nobody, Who Are You? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us, don't tell, they'll banish us, and you know. How dare you be somebody, out public, like a frog, to tell your name to look long day to an admiring bog. I did not take a pause there, I just stopped.
I like that to do it in one breath, you have to start really low.
I did not take a breath, I just paused. I was like, da-da.
Yeah, it's just funny. You started, I'm nobody, who are you? I'm nobody, who are you? And then eventually your voice got back to normal.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. I started writing I wrote my two short stories for this unit in creative writing. Yay. And it was a lot of fun.
What are they about?
Okay, so the first one, well, one, I'm going to say that my friends in English blackmailed me into titling it this. It's called Godfish, and I guess that fits. They say it fits. I don't think it does, but I'm awful at finding titles for my stories. About a marine biologist who always dreamed of being an astronomer or going into space instead of being a marine biologist. So one day he's invited on a trip to explore deep ocean with a bunch of other scientists and scuba divers, and he meets this fish that begins to tell him very strange things about space and how it knows about space, and now he can tell him everything he's ever wanted to know if he starts to throw his fellow sailors overboard when they don't suspect it. It's a horror story. My teacher really liked it. I'm pretty proud of it.
Yay.
It's definitely a story.
And then the second one, which still doesn't have a title, but I'm thinking about titling it Identical, is about, oh, look at that. Someone's already edited it. I can't see the comments on my phone, but I guess I'll check that out later. This is the rough draft of this one. Mm-hmm. The final copy is not due yet. But the rough draft of this one is about two twin girls who have never met their father, but one of them is always told that she takes after her father. And it's said to be a very negative thing that she takes after her father. And she doesn't realize why until she reaches a certain age and realizes her father. There's like werewolf undertones, but I never call him a werewolf because I wanted it to be up to the imagination. Point is, he is like a form of transforming monster, and she is also a kind of transforming monster.
Cool.
And then it just follows that whole narrative.
That's sort of rough. When
does she transform?
In my story, it says she did at the age of 3. The actual story isn't so much about her transformations, but more over something the mother does in order to try and make life better for the daughter that isn't a monster. But that would be like a spoiler if I were to say it. And I don't know if you guys would ever want to read it. So
that'd be fun.
I'd will not
read your stuff.
Spoil it.
I would want to.
So I know that in your creative writing class, you often get classmate feedback in general. Is the way that you get feedback the same as it was when you were in school, or did you do it more in-person feedback?
When in school, the teacher would tape our work to several portions of the classroom, like on the walls and desks. And then we would have like a gallery walk is what she called it, where we would walk around, read the stories, and write down criticisms or things we liked about the story. But we obviously can't do that now. Yeah. So we are told to email it to the teacher and two other students. I kind of missed the way we did it before because I liked seeing everyone's comments rather than just two, but it's the best we can do.
Maybe if you have any that are short enough that we could read on the radio sometime, maybe you could read a favorite super short story.
Well, both of the ones I just talked about had the requirements of being above 1,000 words, but neither of them breached 2,000 words. I don't know how that goes as reading length is regarded, but I do have microfictions that are below 1,000 or 500 words. Those could be more suited to radio.
Yeah, maybe we can hear one in a future week. Maybe AJ has some other writing to share too. I could see if I have any old embarrassing stories from when I was younger that I wrote. Probably not nearly as good as anything you all write.
That'd the one microfiction that I would love to read on the radio maybe is also in the genre of horror, because that seems to be my niche. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll have that to look forward to on a future show. But we should wrap up, say goodbye for this week. Thank you to everyone out there listening. Hope everyone is well. Staying safe and healthy and entertained and engaged and reading lots of books.
Yay.
Have a good week and happy reading.
See you guys.